Hello.
Hi. My name is Bernie.
And my name is Yasmin.
And you're listening to the Fashion Football Podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yes. We just wanted to come on here before the episode starts to let you know to give us a review and to subscribe.
Definitely subscribe.
If you didn't hear it for the first time, subscribe.
We'll say it again. Subscribe.
And make sure to follow us on our socials. That is at
Yasisai on Instagram.
And King Bernie with two E's at the end. And of course, the podcast page, which is the Fashion Football Podcast. We made it easy for you. And as always, everything will be in the description
below.
Right.
So we're making it hella easy for y'all. Just click the description down below. Once you're done listening to this, get us on all the socials.
Yes. And give us a follow. And come join the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Hope you enjoy.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We're back. Welcome back to everyone who's been sticking around and everybody who's been listening so far. I hope your ears are enjoying it as much as we're enjoying talking to you all.
That's such a weird, thing to say. Your ears are enjoying it.
You know what I mean? Like, you know when you listen to a good song and you're like, ah.
You say, like, I hope you enjoy listening, not your ears enjoying it.
Whatever. I like to be corny. So we're going to roll with that for all my corny gals out there.
This is a good segue to our topic today.
Yes.
We are talking about dating.
And dating as creatives, more specifically. But I think we're just really going to touch on our experiences.
It's
and
like a fun one. It's like less like
yeah,
serious. None of our opinions are serious, but like it's less. It's less career.
Yes, and it's also less informational because there is like, please, whatever it is that we say in this episode, take it with a grain of salt if we try to give advice, because we are not dating coaches. We're not relationship counselors.
Especially not me. Especially not Bernie. Don't listen to me. Don't fucking listen to me. Whatever you do, don't listen to me.
Listen, you know, for those who like astrology over here, you'll get the perspectives of dating from a Pisces, which is myself.
And a Libra, which is myself.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to start with... I want to start with something that I heard or that I saw / watched on TikTok recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, like, she stumbled on my For You page, as, you know, one does. Like, you guys know when you see those, like, those random, like, tarot readings or whatever that come up on your For You page and everything, and you're like, oh, that was meant for me.
No, they've been harassing me. I don't believe any of them.
I don't believe any of them anymore. But anyways, this is kind of similar context-wise. Like, at the time when I was getting those tarot readings, I kept thinking, like, oh, it's a sign, whatever, but it never really is. I don't really believe in all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, this girl who came up, she wasn't a tarot reader or anything, but she just had like her two cents to give on dating and her two cents to give on like the perspective of finding the right person for you,
mm-hmm.
and the frustration that comes in between the time that you have found them and that you're looking.
Okay.
So basically what she said was that, you know, that we have to start looking at the like process of finding your one person in a more open-minded sense, and also in a less like, to have a less impatient outlook on it almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, keep talking. I don't know what you mean, but let's just see. So she was basically saying, she's like, do you ever notice how when you're in your single season and you're meeting all these guys or girls and they just don't seem to fit your standards or mm-hmm. fit what you want? You think to yourself at one point, okay, well, maybe I'm the picky one, you know, maybe I need to lower my standards, or like, why is it so hard to find what I want if you're so sure of what you want,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then she was saying how, like, you have to look at it this way. She's like, if you yourself, you know, she's talking to me now through the camera at this mm-hmm. point. She's like, if you yourself, you know that you're a unique individual and that you're a person of high value,
mm-hmm.
then you as a person, for other people, you're really hard to find.
I saw that video.
Okay.
You were going to say that. I was waiting. Oh my God, this is so weird.
She's like, you are really hard to find. So you have to expect that the search that you have for that person who matches your standard will also be hard to find. Mm-hmm. And she said that and my mind went,
oh my God.
I was like, what the fuck? I had never looked at it that way before or thought about it that way before. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like, that makes so much sense. And then she kept going into basically saying like, you know, like this person, like this guy or girl that like you're searching after, that you're waiting for, that you're preying on, whatever it is that you do, like, because of they're going to be of the same standard and the same value as you, and like the God or like the universe has chosen this person for you, mm-hmm. they're not going to be disposable and accessible to you right at your front door. Like it is going to take a journey to have you and this person finally meet and be paired.
I saw that and it just made me really like think, just even in my friendship, and mm-hmm. I do this thing where I compare a lot of my friendship with like relationship that I have with people,
mm-hmm.
because I think my friendships and the friendships that I have are like some of the most beautiful things, like,
yeah,
so I compare my friendships a lot to like romantic relationship,
yeah,
and I was just like thinking about that and I was like, wow, like I really have friends who are like one of a kind. There's people in my life that like I probably will not find ever again, like
literal gems.
This is like a once in a lifetime
person.
Yes.
Okay.
Once in a lifetime person or opportunity, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it wouldn't make sense to for it to be kind of like that in the mm-hmm. more romantic sense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I feel like now we can kind of touch on into friendship and how it segues into relationships too. But like for me, like with friendship, like I'm very fortunate to have a good mix of, I have close friends from my childhood mm-hmm. that I've had for like over a decade, which mm-hmm. is crazy to say out loud. And I have friends that are just as close who I've only met in my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And both those types of friends that I have are equally as meaningful to me.
Yeah.
But it's almost like some of the friends that I've made in like my adult life and in my recent adult life, it's like you click with certain people and you just don't get why and like how the fuck you even found this person that you clicked with so quickly.
For sure.
For example, with you, right? When we met. I'm getting cheesy.
Oh my God.
When we met. Like, mind you guys, like we tell this story like to people like when we meet them or when we work with them for the first time. So we're just going to tell the story to the listeners.
And everyone is like, you guys were meant to be. Like,
no, seriously.
It's actually kind of creepy.
So Bernie and I, this is our little love story, okay? Bernie and I had been following each other on socials probably since, I want to say, like beginning 2020, because we weren't following each other in 2019.
No.
So amidst the panty.
Yeah.
That's when we were following each other. And I think I followed you first because I kept seeing you getting tagged in work with Francois. And I was like, oh, there's another stylist in the city that mm-hmm. I don't know of. And at that point, I realized the kind of content creator and the kind of person that she was. And she was someone who was very engaging with people that she enjoyed their content. So she was commenting on my things and I was naturally commenting back on her things. Eventually, we start sliding in the DMs and responding to each other's stories. And then that's how it started. And then Bernie had the lovely idea for us to connect.
Okay, you have to tell them. Okay, no. I have to like add this in because this is very important into like our relationship.
Right. Okay.
But the first time we had spoken on DMs, or like we probably spoke, you know how like on Instagram you can send like the hearts or like the emojis, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like our only interactions. We never actually had conversations.
We didn't have conversation yet.
But one day I posted how I kept seeing
angel numbers everywhere.
And then she replied and she's like, oh my God, I keep seeing the same ones. And then I sent her links to what the angel numbers mean.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I don't know, I kept thinking about this interaction. I was like, oh. And I also wanted to like figure out and meet more stylists in Ottawa. So I was like, okay, like let's meet. And then we went to bubble tea
together. And guys, when I tell you, there's a reason why we've started this podcast, but we went to bubble tea together. I expected for this to be like a meetup of like 45 to an hour. I think we stayed at this place until we were the last customers there.
Yeah.
And we talked for hours.
We literally talked about everything.
Everything. And it's very rare for me as an individual to be able to let my guard down and to open up to someone, or to just like have like really open, candid conversations with a person that I meet for the first time. It doesn't matter if like it's a romantic interest or not. Like I just have my guard up, period, with people.
Yeah.
especially men, but some... we'll get into that,
that
later.
That triggered me, Jesus. That was triggering. Trigger warning.
Especially men, but in general with new people that, like, I might be intimidated by in, like, whatever way, shape, or form, then yeah, I have my guard up. Because, you know, babes doesn't want to get hurt. That's just, yeah. That's how I am. So, but with Bernie, it felt so, like, natural. Like, the more we were talking, the more I was like, I swear I've known this bitch in a past life.
Yeah.
No, I was, swear.
It was weird. I was like, do I know you? Have we met before?
I know. Like, it was very, very strange. And I didn't know what to think of it. But I knew that, like, after that interaction, I'm like, I have to hold on to this girl. Like, there's something, like, special about this relationship, about this interaction. One way or another, like, we're gonna... Like, this is not, I knew that this wasn't one of those things where it's like, you know, when you hang out with someone and then you're like, oh, we should do this again, or like, yeah, we'll see this again. And then you never make plans, yeah, to link up again. I was like, nah, she's going to hold up her end of the bargain if I say something. So we talked for like hours, and then I'll let you continue the story of the FaceTime afterwards.
Yeah, so we talked for hours, and then we obviously kept in contact, and then we had mentioned the podcast that day, I think. You brought
did
it
we
up.
Mention it at Bubble Tea, or did we mention it on FaceTime?
No, we mentioned it at Bubble Tea.
And because I think I was talking about, like, you were asking me about other ways that I wanted to tap into my creative projects and, like, do other things besides styling.
Yeah.
And then I had mentioned that I had kept getting told by, like, relatives, friends, and, like, my parents that had I not gone to school in fashion, I should have gone to school in, like, broadcasting or radio. Because, like, they were like, you have a voice for this. Like, you love to talk and, like, you're well-spoken, so you might as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had told Bernie how I used to go back and forth in my head about wanting to do YouTube. But then I was like, I feel like if I do YouTube, I'm just going to demotivate myself because I won't be able to come up with enough consistent content that's, like, you know, appealing to viewers or that's going with the trends and whatnot. And then that idea transitioned into, oh, well, maybe I could do podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we move on to the rest of.
Yeah. So we got onto FaceTime one day, and, like, we were talking because we both kind of were like, okay, we should actually start a podcast. Mind you, this is a girl that I met once.
Yeah.
And we only had, like, we don't really text like that. We only, like, no, talk. So it was just like, we didn't really have much interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So that day, we're on FaceTime for like 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. It was like a long ass FaceTime.
It was a long call.
And we talked about everything under the sun, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we got off the phone with like a list of different podcast names.
Mm-hmm.
I posted on my private like a poll to figure out like which one
what we were gonna call it
and stuff. And then I was like, oh, I love the fashion faux pas.
And
I
then it was born.
Yeah, and then it was born. And then the next day, I'm really extra. Like, I think things to a mile. Anytime I have a name for something, I block it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I do an email. I do everything. So I made sure that we got the Instagram page. I did the email. I created all the accounts. Like, I was like, we're not losing this thing.
Yeah, she was very efficient about this, which was honestly good because when I tell you guys, like, I couldn't have had a better partner to do this kind of thing with because I'll usually be the type of person who has the, like, the brainstorm or the ideas. Bernie will actually make the idea solidified and, like... Yeah.
I don't play. Like, I don't think people understand how many Instagram accounts I have with names of shit that I thought about, and I think it's a beautiful name in case I ever use it.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, and then Fashion Faux Pas was born, and this is what you guys are listening to now.
This is our
story of how we birthed our baby, yeah, literally. But yeah, to get back into the dating perspectives and stuff. So the reason why I brought up that TikTok was because, and it's so funny that you've seen it too now and now we're discussing it, but the reason why I brought up that TikTok was because I feel like what she said in general resonated a lot with me and probably resonates with a lot of people who are just creative individuals in general. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like creative people, a lot of the times, like, is it type A or type B? People,
to be honest, I'm not gonna lie to you,
I think
it might sound stupid as hell, but I have no idea what that means.
You know when you're like, there's two types. There's the type A, which I think is like the logical, like, analytical brained, mm-hmm, person, and then the type B, which is like the creative, imaginative,
like left brain, right brain,
yes,
thing? Okay,
well, I think that I'm pretty sure it's left brain for creatives, but creatives, correct me if I'm wrong, are very left brain people, you know, like very imaginative. We're in our own head a lot, pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
So, and like, we love to fantasize, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we create.
We romanticize
stuff. We romanticize and we make a lot of ideals this in our head.
This is a little off topic, but this is like in parenthesis.
Yeah.
Parenthesis, is that what you call it?
Yes, parenthesis.
Okay. But I feel like I've noticed that at some point, I feel like a lot of artists, we romanticize pain a lot.
Mm.
And like.
Interesting.
Grief and shit. Because I was talking to someone and they were telling me this something about like. They were explaining me how they felt about something that felt very, that sounded very painful and like very like intense.
Okay.
And I was like, are you romanticizing your pain? Like, what's going on? And he's like, no. And I was like, it kind of sounds like that.
Sounds like you are. Wow.
But I really do feel like we romanticize pain. And I think just in general, like artists, we romanticize things.
Everything.
Everything.
Like, but that's why, like, when I meet other creatives, I'm like, oh my God. So I'm not crazy when I go on a date with someone and suddenly I think of our whole future together.
No, you're crazy. That's just you.
Okay, no, but I think it's also a Pisces thing if you're into astrology, because like, we're just, again, like, we're known to be very imaginative signs. We're like, if you know the expression in French, like, we're dans la lune all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, my head is in the clouds. Sometimes I'm not even in Canada anymore. Okay. Like, just if you see me staring off into space, don't ask questions. I don't even know where I am. I don't know. Maybe it is just me or whatever, but I will find myself like when I'm on, unless I've already set expectations for myself and I've set what I want out of meeting that person. If I meet someone and I click with you pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, I'm attracted to you very instantly. I like your vibe, whatever. By the time that I go home, there's already some like ideals going on in my brain of, what would it look like in like 5 years if we were still like,
that's so interesting.
If we were still talking to each other, like, what would it be like if we were dating? What would it look like, you know, if we did this or that? Or like, you know, what would the wedding be like? What would the kids look like? Maybe not to that extent. Some people, yes, that has been like a thought. But then again, like.
Now you're exposing yourself.
No, but I'm just saying this because like, I feel like it's not something that people talk about enough because it's something that people actually do.
No, for sure.
Just for fun. Like, we don't actually vocalize it most of the time. Yeah. But I mean, I'm doing it now and I'm exposing myself and a lot of other people who might do this too. If you feel attacked, I'm not sorry. But but like, it's a thing, you know? And it's just, it's really to play up this like fairy tale image that we have in our heads. It's been engraved in us since we were little girls or little boys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but yeah, that really only happens when I don't set expectations for myself of the person before. If I set expectations for myself going into a date and I'm like, yeah, you're definitely a fuckboy and this is really just going to be for entertainment, then like, best believe I'm not envisioning my kids with you.
No,
you know?
I'm fucking dead.
But yeah, so I think the reason why, again, that TikTok resonated with me was like, I feel like a lot of people, creative people, would almost need to look at finding their person or look at, you know, like being with their soulmate eventually, like in that light where it's like, if you're so unique as a creative person and you're like, you're an individual of a high value and you know you're an individual of high value, finding that person who matches you is going to be super difficult. And I feel like a lot of creative people don't understand that because sometimes they don't even realize their own value. Yeah,
I think it's, I actually like how you kind of like linked it to just being a creative, because I feel like a lot of creatives feel lonely a lot of the times because we feel like emotions intensely. Like,
we feel like no one can relate.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause I really realized, cause I have some friends who are not creatives and I realized the amount of like shit that I feel and like how lonely I feel sometimes is not the same way that they feel at all.
It's so weird.
Like, oh my God.
No,
I'm like, trying to be like cute, my boy. Like,
that's the thing. And I always feel so out of place when I get in these moods randomly. And like, I'll talk about it with my friends and like rant to them, like who aren't on the creative end of things. And like, they're super supportive and they're super like just comforting about it. And they're like, honestly, yes, like, I think you're just going through the motions right now for whatever reason. Like, we don't know what triggered it, but if you figure it out, like, let us know. And like, we can talk about it with you, whatever. Shout out to the Sexy United Nations group chat. You guys know who you are, but
the sexy whoa, you're exposing yourself right now.
I don't care. Listen, the Sexy UN group chat knows who they are, and I know that all of you lovely ladies are probably listening to this episode right now, so Shout out to y'all. But yeah, no, they're a great, really great support system for when I get in moods like this randomly. And it's like, just because they can't necessarily relate or like completely like understand what my mind is going through and why I'm feeling things so intensely or why I get random bursts of like anxious feelings or whatever for whatever reason, just the support and like the empathy is always helpful. To kind of tie back into what we were saying, I think a lot of the time, like the reasons, like I'm over here thinking to myself, like maybe just maybe because we've made it clear when we tried to record this episode before that I've never dated another creative.
Okay.
You know? And it's not that I'm it's not that I do not want to or that I'm like, you know, blocking any blessings or whatever, but I think I'm just scared to date another creative because I'm worried that if I date a creative, I'm going to see myself in certain ways that I don't want to see.
I actually did not expect you to say that. Wow. That like, that was a weird wave of like, I just felt so many things just now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And, okay. Because guys, for context, this is like a re-recording because we recorded this before and we had to re-record.
It was a mess.
It was a mess. And she was dead set on like, I'm not dating no creative. Like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. If you are a creative, you can get out of
away
my face.
From me.
And
yeah.
She was kind of like, she was giving like, I want to be the interesting person in the relationship energy. And I was like, okay, girl, that's cute, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, to each their own.
I didn't, I said a lot of shit without saying a lot of shit, basically.
But I like the introspection. Wow, this is a big self-realization.
This is growth.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, no, but I've come to terms with it, I think. And I like had this realization like not too long ago. And I was like, oh my God, like, I think the reason why I block myself from gravitating towards other creatives, like, well, you know, I think I have a fear of like being with someone who's more like-minded than I've ever been with before. Mm-hmm. And then like, if they have certain traits about them that I find myself also having, but that I'm insecure about, and I like, I'm almost like mirrored in a way.
Yeah.
Like, that's a scary thing to experience.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what? That you said just, yo, whoa, I feel like I'm having like an enlightened moment. This mm-hmm. is so insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the reason, because me, I'm off, I don't really like talking to someone who's not creative. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm talking to a wall, and that just drives me insane. Like, even my friends who are not like necessarily artistic, they are creative in the sense that like maybe they have their own business, like they do things that requires a certain level of creativity.
Yes.
But they're not necessarily like gonna paint or write or whatever, right?
Yeah, most of the guys that I've talked to in general, there's not a lot of creative bones in their body.
That's insane.
Whatsoever.
Oh my God. But I feel like the reason why I'm usually very attracted to creative people like off rip,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm gonna expose myself. I feel like I don't like, you know how everyone has a type, like you have a type clearly. Yeah. I really don't have a type, but I think like,
let's just attack me in this episode, why don't we
attack you? It's okay to have a type.
It's very okay to have a type. I'm not gonna disclose what my type is, but if you guys know me in my personal life, then you know what my type is anyway.
But I feel like for me, my type is literally like an artist.
Yeah.
And who has like mysterious energy. Like, it's so bad that that's what I feel.
Not you describing my literal crush, but okay.
Whoa. Time out. As I was saying, I'm really attracted to, I think one of the reasons why I'm attracted to creative people
mm-hmm.
is because I guess there's so much similarity that I feel like if I was to be with someone who isn't necessarily creative, I'd feel misunderstood all the time.
Because
I feel like in past, even like friendships or even like with my family or whatever, like there a lot of my family or like some of my friends are not necessarily, or people that I've been around, what am I fucking talking
surrounded
about?
By?
Surrounded by, yeah. Jesus Christ.
They're not typically creative.
Yeah, they're not typically creative. And it just left me feel so misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it left me feel so misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like that's one of the, as an artist, like, one of our biggest fears, to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why we have the desire to create so much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's also why a lot of us explore the same topics just in different ways.
Yeah.
Because, like, the amount of, like, singers or, like, painters who, like, literally stay within, like, the same, like, theme all the time, I feel it's just because they, maybe I'm talking about my own self,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there's this, like, fear of just being misunderstood, so they try to say things in so many different ways. They try to say the same thing in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting that you say the mirroring thing, whereas for me it's just, like, lack of understanding or just not wanting to feel misunderstood, because I feel like that makes you feel very lonely.
It does. Yeah. But I just, as you were talking, like, I just had another, like, epiphany.
This is healing.
But I think that also another reason why I haven't allowed myself to gravitate towards creative people is because, okay, so my whole life, I've been surrounded by couples who are pretty opposite from each other in the partnership. So, like, my parents, for example, not the same people, you know, but they balance each other out. And they've made it work for, you know, 30 plus years at this point of their relationship. So they've always been, like, my ideal when it comes to, like, something long term and what I'm looking for in terms of, like, how they are with each other, et cetera, et cetera. But also, like, neither one of them, like, they do have, like, creative cultural interests, but they're not creative people at hand, like, at the core necessarily, you know? However, like, for me, I think one of the reasons why, like, and I've always associated their relationship and, like, the fact that they're opposite and the fact that they balance each other out as, like, the representation or the symbolism of, like, something that's solid and something that is substantial, right? Or that has substance.
Okay.
Whereas I think the reason why I'm finding myself not allowing myself to gravitate towards a creative in something long term or, like, something that could be of substance or something serious is because when I'm in a mindset or when I'm in a space where I'm allowing my creative juices to flow, where I'm allowing myself to be very expressive with my craft, et cetera, et cetera, it's like my escape from reality. You know, it's my escape from everything that's going, that could be going shit outside of that in the world right now. And it's my sanctuary. And it's like my bliss, you know, my little like happy land that like doesn't really exist. So I feel like if I gravitated towards, or this is how I was thinking, if I feel like if I gravitated towards someone that was creative and who thought like me and who was like-minded, then, like, it's almost like it's the relationship in itself is a fantasy and there's nothing that is real or substantial about it.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Like, there's
Are
just...
you okay?
No, but, like, I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying, but it's just like, I feel like if I dated, or the mindset that I had was like, if I dated someone who was creative, who was an artist in any kind of way, then, like, there's almost, there's nothing to balance out really, because we're already way more like-minded and we think the same way and we feel things the same way. We empathize similarly, et cetera, et cetera. That it's like, if I'm like, if I'm at a creative high all the time around you and I'm at like my level of bliss and my level of sanctuary, what the hell is bringing me back down to earth?
Why do you need to go back down to earth?
Because I feel like I have to be grounded all the time, or that I have to, that I have to have someone who keeps me grounded. Otherwise, like, I'm in like fucking la la land, you know?
But you don't think that you being in this creative state, being grounded.
I don't know, because again, like, this kind of ties back into me, like, when I'm like in the clouds, because like when I'm in the clouds, I can be in the clouds for like a while, you know? And I almost feel like if I'm like always like, if I'm with someone like 24/7 while I'm dating them, that like is also the same way, like doesn't have like I don't have like a right brain to my left brain. I almost feel like how on earth can we be like,
that's so interesting.
Whole in a way.
I'm fascinated by what you're saying.
I feel like it doesn't make sense what I'm saying, but it kind of does to me.
No, I think I'm understanding what you're saying, but what I'm getting from what you're saying is that there's still a level of maybe, I don't know what word or term would really explain like how you're feeling, because obviously I'm not you, but I'm understanding that there's still a level of like maybe shame or insecurities around being or creative. So because I for me, like in my head, when I'm in my creative state, that's when I'm grounded. And when I'm not, like, that's when I'm going fucking crazy. You know, so for me it's like, it's so interesting that you're saying that, because I'm like, is there a level of like, and I feel like in our private conversation, we've had like a lot of conversation around like imposter syndrome and like knowing what to do, but like not really feeling.
That was one thing that I didn't want to touch so on, though, because I feel like that's part of it.
Yeah, I feel like what I'm hearing is that there's still some level of shame or guilt or something or lack of confidence, whatever it is. And that's.
You know what I think it is? This is another epiphany now, guys. We're having a lot of epiphanies today.
What's going on?
So I. Just a little bit of background on my personal life, but I come from a family on both sides where not a single person in my entire family has ever pursued a career in the creative space. Mm-hmm. I have no designers, no artists, no musicians, mm-hmm. no one in TV or film, nothing. Every single person in my family who is older than me is either in medicine or they're in teaching or they're in security. Or like they're working like for the federal government or like whatever, right? And when I was growing up, like surrounded by that in general, and like obviously my interests were very clear what they were as a kid. And from a very young age when I was little, before I knew that I wanted to get into like, you know, styling and like creative direction and just like being a artistic or fashion enthusiast full time in general, I had narrowed it down to like design when I was younger. I wanted to be a designer. That was my thing. The reactions that I would get out of that in general, that like that was my thing and like that's what I enjoyed, or like if I wasn't into that, then I was into theater and like acting or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that I used to get a lot more support or a lot more like encouragement, or had I decided to pursue acting and like TV and film or whatever, for whatever reason, because it was almost like at the time that was something that my family had noticed was a talent that came naturally to me. Mm-hmm. And because design wasn't something that I could prove, or fashion was something that I could prove right away, they were like, this is not going to lead her anywhere. She's on a phase. She's on a path that's going to lead her to nothing. Like, whatever.
Is that how you felt, or is that what people were telling you?
That's how I felt.
Okay.
But also, it's not like I was getting positive reactions either when I said I was interested in fashion and that it was something that I wanted to do.
Okay.
So then, obviously, the older that I got, you know, like when you're a kid, like, and you're growing up with half of your family being African.
Yeah.
And the other half of your family being Caucasian, but also being like just very narrow-minded a lot of the time.
Okay.
The mix of the two in your ear, the older you get and the more that they ask you, like, what do you want to do after school is done and whatever, like after high school is done, right? And then I tell them. They're like, well, Yazzie, like, you need to have a backup plan. You need to this, that, and the third. Or like, you know, they would always be like, oh, well, like when they would come around to the idea of me wanting to get into something creative, I would always get side comments and joke being like, oh, well, I guess like whoever you marry can do the opposite so that there's some sort of financial support in case Ooh. Yours isn't like substantial. And I was just like, I didn't really think anything of it at the time. And I kind of like had it engraved in my brain that like I had to almost like allow myself, but like almost, well, not force myself either, but I had to gravitate towards people at that point who were different of my field completely. Mm. So I think that I had willingly only really allowed myself to gravitate towards guys who were doing the complete opposite, who knew nothing about it. Because in my mind, I'm like, if I'm searching for, you know, because I was always searching for like key things like in a guy in general, when I was looking, right? Or like when I was meeting people, like I would search for a guy who knew how to communicate, a guy who had a good sense of humor, who was mm-hmm. easy to talk to, but also someone that had their shit together.
Right.
Because I felt like I didn't really have my shit together all the time. And it's not like my family was making it seem like, it's almost like they were making it seem like because you're choosing to do a creative space and they had such a negative like outlook on creative people in general and how it doesn't bring you like, you know, regular income or like, mm-hmm. you know,
it's unstable.
Yeah, stability. Then I had to have like something to fall back on or whatever. And I almost felt like because that was the outlook that they have, then it made it feel for me that I didn't have my shit together fully. So if I found someone who did have their shit together and they were in a different field, mm-hmm. then that would kind of balance me out, so to speak. So I think that that's why I was like gravitating Damn. Towards those kinds of guys. And it's not even a bad thing because like all of those guys that I was meeting who were like, you know, like in finance or in economics or like, you know, engineering or like whatever it is that they were studying, this doesn't mean that they weren't interesting guys. They were, but they weren't, they clearly didn't work out for a reason. Like, they weren't for me.
Yeah.
You know? And I, like, I've gotten so many jokes and, like, so many comments, like, in the past or whatever, like, about, like, or about, like, people that I've talked to or whatever. And, like, because my family's, like, very big on teasing me, saying that, like, oh, like, you know, you're a pretty girl. You're very, like, you reject, you seem to reject everyone that, like, we ask you about. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't get it. I'm very selective. And also, like, they would, every time that I would tell them about the guys that I was talking to, and, like, I would tell them about, like, you know, like, kind of, like, what they do and, like, their background, like, family-wise, whatever. Like, some of them, like, I guess to their eyes were, like, impressive to a certain extent, because maybe they came from a lot of money, or they came from, like, you know, a long lineup of, like, family businesses that were well-operated or whatever. And they were like, oh, like, think about your future. Like, why not, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, that kind of shit does not impress me, though. It doesn't, and it never has, and it never will either. You can have all the money, all the riches, all the fucking, like, family dynasty in the world, and if you are not, like, a human of substance, I'm not gonna be impressed by the rest of it.
Okay, so what does... I feel like this is a therapy session. Jesus Christ, I fucking love this.
I know.
What does a human in substance mean to you then?
For me, like, to meet someone with substance basically is like, not only can I connect with you on an emotional level, a mental level, but I feel like for me, like, or an intellectual level, I should say, because, like, that's my biggest thing is, like, I am not dating a guy who's fucking brain dead. Like, I can't do it. As much as, like, me, like, in general, like, I've never been, I'm not a right brain person. I'm not analytical. I don't think logically half the time, whatever. Mm-hmm. I still consider myself a very smart girl. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot to say. And what I say doesn't ever not make sense. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I know what I'm talking about when I open my mouth. I'm never going to say anything and say something, like, out of my ass,
right?
You know? So, like, again, like, when I was, if I would approach, like, that was the one thing, like, or one of the main things that I was looking for is, like, someone who's not going to talk out of their ass all the time, like, someone who's a very intellectual person. But again, like, that will, like, that'll get me from the jump. But, like, for me, I think it's more so, like, if I can connect with you on an intellectual conversation, past surface level stuff, and, like, we have a good connection emotionally as well, if I can connect with you spiritually, that's, like, huge.
Okay.
But I haven't really found that yet, at least with men. With women and in friendships, I've found to have those relationships.
Yeah, but you have a lot of friends who are creatives, right?
Yeah.
So that to me makes sense. Mm. Because to me, art is very spiritual. And this is why I connect with creatives, like, easily. I could meet a creative today and we'll talk about literally everything under the sun. And we'll, like, mm-hmm. There's people I meet and, like, we have, like, deep-ass conversations right off the bat. Like, I genuinely do not really have any, like, small talks unless I'm talking to someone who's not creative, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're saying I'm not trying to get you on my team, because I personally only get attracted to artists. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just how I roll.
I mean, listen, I'm not opposed to going to your team. It just depends on who the players are that are gonna be offered.
Girl, I'm dead. But because I have this belief, and it might not be the same belief as you, but mm-hmm. because I have this belief that art is such a spiritual thing, mm-hmm. to me, it would make sense to be with a creative, because I feel like if that's what's been lacking in your past situations, that might be the reason
why. You know what I think it is, though? I think for me, it's not even so much that I need you to be a creative or for you to have a career in something creative, but I think, like, bare minimum, I would just need you to have an appreciation for the creative space, mm-hmm. and I would also need you to have an understanding for it, and also, like, just something that you do on the side that's for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a little talent or, like, a little hobby that you do that falls into the creative spectrum, or, like, you appreciate my craft,
that's fucking hot.
God,
I feel like all of my experiences, how can I explain it, were very, like, imposed on me type thing.
Mm.
Like, the way that things were going were very imposed on me.
Okay, as in, like, they kind of held the reins in how the pace was happening.
Yeah, I guess.
And you kind of just followed with their wave.
I think it was also because anyone who knows me knows I'm fucking opinion. I don't fucking shut up. Okay. Like if something pisses me off, if there's something that I think
you'll
like,
know if she's feeling any type of way, basically.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I feel like I was just not heard for a lot of situations. Mm. And I feel like for a lot of those things, it led to just traumatic situation that
yeah.
was even sometimes like non-consensual. Like, so it's.
So does that tie back into the whole misunderstood thing almost?
Yeah, I think it does. I just feel, I think I've.
But were these people also creative?
Some of them were. Mm. Not necessarily like looking for a career in the creative industry, but some of them
yeah,
were.
Yeah, they're just creative people, period.
But I think just like in a lot of my relationship, I've always felt misunderstood. But I think like I also have a weird like path with like relationships in general, or like not just romantic, but just in general. Cause like I moved around, and when I was in high school and even elementary school, I like missed a lot of school as a kid. So I just never got to like connect with people in a way. And I feel like
in a way where it was long term.
Yeah, like I don't think I could even say that I have like any childhood friends.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But this literally makes so much sense to me now as to why you and I view relationships so differently, and like our intentions when we get involved with someone are also so different. Cuz like you're kind of like when you get involved with someone, you're very much like go with the flow, let's see what happens. If this is for a season, it's fine, like it's an experience, whatever. Whereas me I am fucking relentless. Like, if we're involved and we're committed, we're in this thing until the wheels fall off. Like, this is with partners, with my friends, with family members. Like, it does not matter. If I've connected with you and if, like, you and I have formed a relationship or we formed a bond and we're consistent with each other, like, you're gonna find it very fucking hard to get rid of me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I cling on to people that I adore and that I cherish, and I've always like been the type of person since I was very little to value relationships to such a high regard.
I think I just never really got the chance to really like understand relationship in like that thing, like I always grew up around people who are like fam, like you know how people will like list like some things that they find super important, they're like, oh, I really want someone who's family oriented. I'm like, I don't even fucking know what that means because I'm just not close with my family like that. So for me it was just never like, it was never like things that I looked for. And I feel like,
I feel like family oriented is a big thing to say though, because like
I don't know what that means. Like, what does that even mean?
I guess it's like the almost like the ideal sense of like, oh, like you have a great relationship with your family and you guys talk all the time and you have like, you go on trips together, or like you I don't know, like you every like birthday is like a huge celebration kind of thing, and like you have a lot of like meetups and reunions and stuff. I don't know, that's the thing, like not every family's like that. Even mine is not like that to a certain extent. Like, yeah, we're close, but we're not close to the extent where like we're the fucking Partridge Family on a sitcom. Like, that's just not how it is.
But yeah, like I think because of the way that I grew up, I never really had like significant relationship. And the only like very significant relationship I had was with one of my friends, and then we're not friends anymore, but it was like my first significant relationship, and that was when I was like an adult. I was like, what, 17, 18 maybe? So
yeah,
I feel like now it's really hard for me. Like, it's not hard for me to connect with people. That's not hard at all.
It's just hard for you to keep the connection or to have a longevity with that connection.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. Like, that's also the thing, because like you said, like I've very like La La Land like perception of relationship. I'm super like permanence doesn't exist, like, you know, you experience people type thing. And so I never really had people in my life that I'd be like, I'd see you be in my life for like years,
because you don't set expectations for people.
But that, like, that's what I'm saying, my first like significant relationship, literally I was convinced like we're gonna have kids together, we're gonna live like down the street from each other. Like, I was fully convinced, like that, like, when I tell you this person was like my soulmate, like I call this person my soulmate,
and
like
a friend. Yeah,
yes, it was like, this person like is literally everything. And so I feel like after that happened, I kind of went in like this rut of just like, I don't, and this is actually when I think I told you about this, but this is when I decided to stop dating for like,
right?
Yeah, so right after that,
yeah,
when I realized like that this relationship was like, it, we couldn't recover it. I was just like, I don't want to be around people. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be around people.
You had an ick.
I had like a huge ick for just relationship in general.
Mm-hmm.
I literally cut off like everyone I was talking to,
mm-hmm.
cut them off. And I was like, I'm not dating. I dropped out of school. Like, it was really, I'm not necessarily going to say that she literally caused all of this, like our relationship.
But that was like the cherry on top of everything else that was already going on. Yeah, I
think it was kind of and it was one triggering. Of those. And literally, like, after that, I did not date for 2 years. And I was not interested in even making friends. Because I was just like, I just don't want to feel that feeling. And I feel like I still have that, like, I still have, like, the residue of, like, that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just don't want.
I'm not even gonna cap. And, like, people can disagree with us if they want on this. But friendship breakups are almost harder than relationship breakups. Let's just, like.
Yeah, friendship breakups are insane. I don't think they are. It's also, it's weird because I can't really compare for myself because I've never had like a relationship breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the type of person like.
I've had both.
When I'm done with you, I'm done with you. Like, I walk out. Like, I think I've told you about the last person that I was talking to.
Yes.
I feel so toxic, but I just sent a text. I was like, we're done.
Yeah, I can't do that. But no, so I've had both friendship breakups and relationship breakup. And in both, like, because I've had more than one friendship breakup, but in the most recent friendship breakup I had, and then the relationship breakup that I had, the common denominator or the common thing in both those situations was that I was the one who was left. So it was like.
abandonment issues. I actually kind of think I have abandonment issues. I can't even cap.
I don't even think it's a question of, like, I don't have abandonment issues. But
you definitely don't, because you get relationships like you don't have abandonment issues. You don't have to worry about that.
I don't have abandonment issues, but I have a hard time accepting the idea that people can really just walk out at any given moment.
That's so crazy.
Like, I have a hard time digesting that. Like, because in my mind, it's like, once you have something good and you're in it with someone and you're just there, what goes through your mind to, like, literally think one day, like, oh, this isn't for me anymore?
You know what's crazy? I have a hard time to, like, believe that. I honestly feel like people be like, oh, you know, I've been with this person for 10, 20, 30 years, whatever, for a long time.
And in your mind,
time.
You're like, how in the my fuck mind, did I'm you like, do that?
How does that work? And I also feel like part of it is because people are just too lazy to, like, end it and then find someone else.
That so does happen, though. A lot of people stay comfortable in relationships.
I think it happens way more than we think.
Oh, I think it happens way more than we think. But I also think that I have such hope in long relationships that, like, are not a part of that majority, because I have quite a few prime examples around me of, like, the latter of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents, for example, don't get me wrong, they're very comfortable with each other and around each other. Oh, I just saw 222. Huh? Mm-hmm. They're very comfortable around each other and with each other, but I've never encountered a couple that in the 30 plus years that they've been together, you know, married, whatever, they have constantly made an effort to, like, not only accept each other for who each other is, and, like, you know, they've obviously changed and grown throughout all these years of being together, because they're not the same people that they were when, you know, they were 17 and 18, mm-hmm. when they first started dating, like, you know what I mean? But with like their new growth individually and their new growth as a couple, like every season,
mm-hmm.
every decade, every year, whatever, they've always made a conscious effort to just basically keep things interesting and be, like, attentive and, like, just keep it almost, like, fresh in a way, mm-hmm. I guess, because, like, there'll be times where, like, you know, they'll interact and, like, they'll talk like an old married couple as if they were in their 60s, and I'm like, oh my god, if this is a reflection of what it's going to be like when you guys are like 80 something, like, I won't visit. But then there's other times where you'll see them interacting with each other and I'm like, it's like you guys are teens all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so precious to me to watch, because I'm like, they've never lost that. Like, it's always been there. So that's why I firmly believe that they were 100% meant for each other when they did meet and when they did start dating. And I think because I've had that, that ideal to literally look at since I was born, in my mind, I can't settle for less.
Yeah.
So the thought of, and I know that, like, you know, like, breakups after long relationships are a real thing, divorce is a real thing, like, you know, separation, whatever, all kinds of stuff. Like, this is all things that are a possibility and that are very normal and that happen often. But I think for me, it's like, because I have my standards set so high and I already have the ideal of like what I want in terms of the kind of relationship that I want to form with a partner long term. It's almost like I feel like I have this foolproof system in my head where it's like, once I do meet that person who's on the same frequency, mm-hmm. it can't go wrong. Or not that it can't go wrong, because like things will for sure go wrong. Like we'll have disagreements, we'll have fights, you know, yeah, we'll have moments,
it's,
whatever.
It's just that it's supposed to last.
Exactly. Like it's going to be solidified, you know? And there haven't been very many people that I have met or that I've encountered that I've like dated for a short period amount of time where I'm like, he would be able to hang kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, very, very, very few people. I think I've maybe had like, can I even say that I've had one encounter? I don't even know. I'm not even sure. Cause like for a while I was convinced that my ex was that person, mm-hmm. but then that wasn't the case. And I was like, was it all a lie? Like, I was just like, you know, but again, I don't think that discredits him as a person. I think that he could very much easily be that person, but he wasn't that person for me. Mm-hmm. I think that he's that person for someone else. And then, you know, vice versa with myself as well. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I had to learn and accept, like post breakup kind of thing. But now where I'm at, I'm kind of like, okay, like I'm trying not to set too many expectations for myself when I do meet and talk to guys, because the earlier that I set expectations for myself, the easiest or the quickest that I could be disappointed, you know? Because if I've created an ideal for mm-hmm. what you potentially are, keyword, potential, and you don't match up to the potential that I've created of you without even knowing you all that long, then of course I'm going to be disappointed. Mm. Like I'm literally like, I'm self-sabotaging myself. Does that even make sense? Self-sabotaging yeah. myself. By creating expectations for a person who hasn't even shown me what they have to offer me yet. Mm-hmm. You know? Which is why this time around, I am being so unbothered. I am being, like, so, like, nonchalant.
This is totally out of topic.
Okay.
But I'm curious to know, like, what do you think is my toxic trait in relationships?
Oh. What is your toxic trait in relationships? I think... Ooh. I don't know. I feel like I can't really point out people's toxic traits all the time. But also, like, because I can point out toxic traits of, like, some other friends and, like, their past relationships and stuff because I've actually physically seen their relationships. Mm. But for you, I've never physically seen any of your relationships, so I don't fully know what your toxic trait would be. But if I had to guess, I feel like your toxic trait would kind of lead back into that whole La La Land thing you were talking about, where it's, like, you're just kind of in this, like, bliss like state of mind the entire time, and you're not really thinking about what could be the real thing. Like, you don't think long term when you're involved with someone.
You know, when I was a kid, I was convinced that I was not made for a relationship. I was convinced, like, I literally was convinced that, like, some people are generally not made to be in a relationship, and I was convinced
that I was not. I'm sure that it's a thing, because there are some people, like, you know.
No, I mean, like, friendships. Like, I was convinced that, like,
friendships. All okay.
friendships, relationships, whatever it was, I was convinced that all my relationship had an expiration date.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because, like, I moved all the time. It's
that,
like,
is true. That so would make sense why, like, you thought that way.
Like, for me, it's like...
There's always a...
It was, like, a thing where it's, like, you know, I start being friends with whoever, and then it was, like, yeah. I know I'm gonna leave.
There's
anyways.
A limit. Mm-hmm.
So, I think, like, part of that is still, like, ingrained in my mind.
Yeah, for you, like, everything has an expiration date. I think that is your toxic trait, though, is that in your mind, you're, like, you can't see past a certain point because you're, like, I just know that eventually this is gonna end. I don't know how. I don't know when, but it will. And, like, it's almost like you're getting involved... And, like, you're in the bliss state, but at the same time, you're setting yourself up for failure because you're just, like, you expect it to have an end game.
But I also feel like I said, I feel like there's a lot of times where, like, in relationships specifically, I always felt like a timeline was, like, spurs on me.
Oh, like okay.
Put on me where it's, yeah. like, oh, this is how things should go, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, okay, I guess. Like, I don't really know how this shit's supposed to work.
Yeah, me either. And I've been in a committed relationship before, and I still don't fucking know how this shit works. Like, I just...
I feel like people will like feel things a lot. How can I say this? I can't speak.
Like more intensely?
Yeah, than I did. Where I was just like, oh, like you're just like fun to talk to you. And they were like,
and they're
else.
Like, you're my safe space.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, what's going on? And I just,
I've been so there before too, though. And it's
so many questions
weird.
Because I'm just wondering if I'm, is it because I'm not allowing myself to be like open to that type of relationship?
Mm.
Or is it because these people don't really understand like what it's like to just, because for me, like sometimes conversations I have with like people every day is so, it's so normal.
Mm-hmm.
To like just connect with someone and to hold space for someone. And I've just met people who just never had that.
Mm.
And I feel like I do attract that a lot. Like people who just
who are not used
that,
to
like, platform
yeah.
Where some people are holding space.
Who are not
them.
Used to conversation with substance and with a lot of value. Like they're used to surface level things, but they seek deeper things. So then when they do find that person who would be you in that case, they're like, oh my God, like this is life changing or like whatever.
I don't fucking know,
when meanwhile for us it's like very normal because we connect with people like that all the time.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't know what's in their head. I couldn't tell you, but I think like it's just so interesting the way that you view relationship because I'm just like I
yeah. If you guys haven't like gotten it by from the beginning of this episode, we have completely different relationship views. Period. But we very much like agree to disagree on a lot of things when it comes to
yeah.
that. And
I
also
think, like,
we support each other.
I think we both understand like our perspective.
Exactly. We understand
that,
each
like,
other's point of view.
Because we know that it's like coming from different places.
It is.
Because like
completely.
Everything you say, like I know people who are exactly like that. And
I know people who are exactly like you.
But
so,
I'm just like, I can't relate. I don't know what
yeah,
you're about
me neither. Like I don't know. Like I and like everyone and their mother knows this about me at this point, like in my personal life. Like I am not bred for casual relationships. I am not built like that. I can't do it. Like hookup culture, not me. Casual relationships,
hookup culture's not me.
Not
either.
Me. Yeah, but hookup culture in general, please. Ugh, can we just make this shit die already? Like it's just so.
To each their own. This can send it to the ground.
I'm no, sorry. Truthfully, because it's literally going to be the killer of genuine connections and relationships one day.
You think so?
Girl, I could go on about how I feel like our generation has just forgotten how to date. We don't know how to date anymore.
That's interesting.
Like,
I think
chivalry is damn near dead at this point. Men don't want to woo women anymore. They don't. Okay, before men attack me, actually, in this episode, I'm not going to generalize and say all men don't want to woo women anymore. There are still some guys who are out there who are old school and who like to charm and who like to chase or whatever. So shout out to y'all who are still bred like this. But there are a big majority of men in the 21st century in 2022 who just don't feel the need to try anymore.
Well, I think for one, times are different.
Times are very different, and social media ruined it.
I don't necessarily think it's just social media. I think there's a lot of context to it because times are different. Back in the days, like if you wanted to meet someone or take someone out, like as a man, because there was patriarchy and women were not working, like that's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is not something that's as common, obviously the way they don't necessarily feel like they have to make as much efforts,
mm-hmm.
because like they just don't have to type thing,
yeah,
you know, which is understandable to a certain extent. But I think like at least for me, what I think the biggest issue is for like lack of genuine connection is that for one, people don't really know how to identify how they feel.
Mm.
And they don't know how to express how they feel,
mm-hmm.
because like really what a lot of people are telling me is that there's a lot of miscommunication. I was watching this video this morning on TikTok, and this girl last night was explaining how like casual intimacy,
mm-hmm.
like the cuddling, the going on dates, the holding hands, like all those things are things that like a lot of guys can do without a connection. Whereas like,
which is so fucked up to me to think about. It's
really?
So weird to me to think about. Like, that's not, it's so not like funny. It's not like I've never done it either. Like I've been intimate with people that I was involved with casually, and I didn't necessarily see it going past
well, like,
a certain
point. When I'm
point.
Talking about casual intimacy, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about like the whole like cuddling, the like,
yeah, that too.
Those types of things.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I like, I guess it depends on the person, and it depends on like who I'd be involved with, but like for me, I don't know, like as soon as you, but I think it's because physical touch is not my number one love language. Mm-hmm. So like for me, like I can look at it both ways. Like physical touch to me doesn't necessarily mean that you are like you're in this, like you're to me doesn't equate like, oh, you want to be serious about this, like you're very involved at this point, like mm-hmm. you're invested, you know. The physical touch to me or physical intimacy doesn't necessarily equate to investment. However, if the physical aspect comes after, you know, the acts of service, the quality time that you spend with that person, mm-hmm. the words of affirmation, and then you add the physical that comes way after, then it's like, okay, if this is how you're moving now, then it's because you see this
but being something of substance. But that's because they're not telling you.
Right? Yeah, they're not. Most of the time, they're not.
Anyways, I could go on and on about this thing because I actually was thinking about it like heavily the past few days. But before we end, one last question for you.
Yes.
How do you think your perception on dating and love and relationship affects the way that you create?
Ooh. I think that it affects the way that I create because I think that it has an effect on like how I basically conduct certain projects, and like it has an effect on depending on like the kind of shoot that I'm like conducting or the kind of video that I can be conducting. It has an effect on the relationships that I build with the people that I create with, and it has an effect on like, you know, the chemistry or the emotions that I want to invoke within the photos or within the video, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because like, for example, like this project, it hasn't even seen the light of day yet or hasn't even been produced, but you and I had thought about a Black Love project that we were going to do in the month of February,
mm-hmm. yeah,
a while back. And even like the pictures that I was saving and the concept that I kind of wanted to build it off of or whatever, the way that I view relationships definitely reflected that. And mm-hmm. the things that I was saving, the ideas that I had, like the emotion that I wanted to invoke within the photos and within the video, because I value love so much, and I love in general. Mm-hmm. So, and I just think
look
it's a pure
you,
thing.
Fucking Pisces, what a sign.
I just think it's very pure and it's a beautiful thing. Sign. So I want that emotion to be translated really loudly in a photo or in a video as well. So I think that has to do with it. And also I think the way that I view relationships as a creative person has definitely affected me in my work in terms of how I connect with other creatives in the production setting of things. Like my best example or most recent example that I can give is literally with Alex. Like that mm-hmm. in general, like I'm convinced Alex is probably my twin flame. Like I actually don't know for sure, but like I think that he just might be my twin flame because I had never met someone who was also creative and in the creative space apart from you that like I connected with instantly.
Yeah, but honestly, like
it's scary.
Alex, like literally, I don't know what this guy is like. Chapeau bas. I don't know what to say. Like he's just a gem.
He really is, and he's so humble about it too. Like I don't even think he realizes how special he is.
Sometimes he tells me about his ideas. I'm like, you do realize you're a genius,
like a visionary.
I'm like, understand it's insane. That you're a genius. Like it's actually insane.
It's crazy. And again, like mind you, like he and I met like in October, like on set, like working with Fitch for the lens commercial and everything. And like I didn't really think anything of it at the time because we were like in a work setting, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know that he had been working with Fitch for a long time at that point. That was he was like his friend in his personal life and everything. It wasn't until like we went out that night after that like he and I really like, I don't know, like something just literally sparked. And the next time that we worked together after that, I had it in my mind. I'm like, for some reason, like, I just know, like, it's not even a question. Like, he's going to be in my life for a very mm-hmm. long time. And he's going to be a friend that I'll have for an extremely long time. And I'm sure he would agree. Alex, if you're listening, love you. I know you agree. But yeah, like, it was so weird. And we talk about this all the time. Like, and we've even talked about this with you. But yeah. Like, we're both convinced that, like, in a past life, our souls have met before. That's if that makes sense. Like it felt it was too quick and it was too instant and like too natural for us to not have like known each other in a past life, because it felt like I had known this guy for a while already. Like, we got so comfortable so quick. We call each other on our own time now, like, apart from work stuff, like, just to spill tea and have updates and shit. And, like, I don't do this normally, like, with people that I meet in, like, line of work. So, yeah. But no, like, I think, yeah, like, that definitely, like, the way that I view relationships and the way that I value them and the way that I hold them to a really high regard and a high standard for myself in my personal life and with, like, projects that I do definitely has an effect on my work. How do you feel like it has an effect on your work, the way that you view relationships or on your craft? As a creative, of course.
I don't really know how I can really answer that question. I think I've been in this journey of kind of understanding the differences between love and relationships, because I think the love and the connection can be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I guess the connection can be there, but it takes work to build a relationship. And it takes... I don't think I've ever, like, especially in the past few months with the pandemic, like, I think I'm a lot more critical of, like, who I decide to talk to or whatever. I don't think I've ever,
you're more,
like,
selective.
I don't think I ever meet people, now at least, that I don't connect with.
Mm.
I think what my work has done has just made me more curious about people, where I just want to know things. And I think, like, just related to my work, I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense, but I think, like, now the conversations, or how I have conversations with people, or how I go about listening to people, is different than what it was before. And it's impacting my work in some ways, where there's a lot more curiosity, and there's a bit of, like, a romanticization thing that happens within every conversation that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm just asking questions that maybe not everyone will ask someone, because I'm trying to really understand people better. So I guess because of my upbringing and, like, what I've been through, I've not really had, like, real or significant connections. And I think now that I'm older, there's, like, a desire to connect with people more. So that just looks like having more intentional conversations or better conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that curiosity is, like, bleeding through my work.
Yeah.
And so now it's not just about a cute outfit, but it's also about something deeper than that. And I hope that, like, when people see my work, they can tell that there was a lot of thought and intention put into it.
Yeah,
and they can interpret that well. But yeah, I think that's how it's impacted my work.
I love that. That was very beautiful. You know, that was a very lovely sentiment. See, guys, Bernie has a big heart. You just have to dig for it sometimes. If you're lucky, you'll get to know it personally. But yeah, I think that we have touched on this more than we thought we were going to. I expected this episode to be a lot shorter than it was, but
you were spilling your guts, bro.
I had a lot to say. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you've made it all the way to the end, we appreciate you. This was a lot more unfiltered, yeah, I guess you could say.
It was different.
It wasn't fashion related. It wasn't work related. And you know, if you guys want to have us record more, like, raw, honest conversations like this that have nothing to do with the industry, like, just to throw them in there in the little mix, then let us know and we could find other topics to talk about easily.
Yeah, if there's ever something that you'd want us to talk about, please let us know.
But yeah, thank you so much again for listening,
and tell your mom about this podcast and your dad and your ex and your best friend and
not your ex, we can't be doing that.
And your crush.
Your crush, sure, you can tell them about this podcast. Yeah.
Send
I know
this episode. Or send them or her, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Anyways, guys, we will catch you on the next one and we'll see you all very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening in on this episode.
We hope you enjoyed it, and you can find us on all platforms at the Fashion Fopa Podcast.
And find us individually at Yasisaya on Instagram.
And Kane Burney with two E's at the end on Instagram. Everything will be linked in the show notes below. Make sure to
subscribe
and give us a review.
And we'll see you guys on the next one.